Good morning, and it is the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton with you this morning, and our church is located in Lupton on the east side of the road, so no matter which way you come in town, you can find us. And service time is 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service, and our midweek is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have a youth time for the teenagers on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And we have a time for the ages 5 to 12 on Thursday night. So we've got something I think will be helpful to you some way. New message today, what Jesus did for you. Our text will be Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. If you can, turn there. If you can't, just listen carefully, and it will be read to you. We'll try to each week be a blessing to you in some way, bringing these messages. And thank you for those who take the time to let us know that, all right? Our song for today is That's What He Did For You. I believe it's a group out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I think, sings this song. If not, I believe it would be a blessing to you no matter where it comes from. That's What He Did For You. What a great testimony that is. And, boy, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, where would we be, folks? What hope would we have? Nothing. You surely don't think we've got any hope in the government, do you? Okay, I hope you didn't. All right, Pastor Heaton saying good day to you. Here's the first part of the three-part message, what Jesus did for you. First of all, the song, That's What He Did For Me, and then right into the message. Thank you very much.
Probably think I'm stuck in a rut, but if you'll turn to Hebrews, if you ever read the book of Hebrews, one thing you find out is a book about Jesus, and that's what we're emphasizing on this month. That's not that we don't emphasize it any other time, but every year in the radio program, every year I start the first Sunday of December, I start on Jesus, and no better time to focus on Jesus in this time for the world's sake. But I got to thinking, the world's ain't the only one that needs to focus on Jesus.
That's right.
You and I need to focus on Jesus. And so Hebrews 2, just reading verse 9, just one verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. God, I wish somehow that we could have understood this a whole lot better many years ago. Father, it surely is not your fault that we didn't. Father, lack of concern and care on our part surely left us ignorant of many things. But we want to grasp all we can get while we're here. And Father, we realize that the days are shortening, not in the length of days as far as the sunset's concerned, but in the length of time before the sun should come again. And so I pray that in this period of time, Father, that we will be given to much time in the Word of God, and that we might be able to give a good account as a good soldier of the Word of God. Please help us, I pray. Those who need something today special, I don't know if there's anybody here today that's not saved, but God, you know every heart. I know we can all profess something, but whether we possess something would be a different thing. Father, there's a lot of people to this day who possess or who profess salvation. We've had them, Father, come to the altar, get saved, or said they did. We've had them bow their heads in their homes and said they got saved. But Lord, no fruit just sometimes makes us wonder. And we're not condemning anybody, Father, because we ourselves are not as fruitful as we ought to be. But Father, please help us to see some genuine results of the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray that you'll help us to grow as Christians and to be better soldiers in the battle in which we're in. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the topic which I want to speak to this morning is called What Jesus Did For Me. I don't mean to take that as a necessarily a personal situation, but as you yourself would think about that, what Jesus did for me. I know that he came to die for the whole world. I know the emphasis of the Word of God. But I also know that he came for me. And I know that that's why I'm saved, because Jesus came for me. I know that's why you're saved, because Jesus came for you. But what did he do for you? We could not obviously cover all of those subjects in one sermon. As a matter of fact, I would be willing to say that I doubt in all the sermons that's ever been preached about Jesus that a man's ever covered all the things that Jesus has ever done. I don't know that there's enough time, enough space, enough ink and pen in which to write all that Jesus has ever done. All the hope a man has ever or ever will have lies in what Jesus has done. I don't have any hope this morning in a better government. I'd like to see one, but I don't have any hope in that. I don't have any hope that the church is going to have great revivals across America and we'll see that. I'd like to see that, but I have no hope in that. I don't have any hope that there will be a lessening of restrictions upon our homes and our authority over our children and various things that are seeming to be clamping on us. I'd like to see that, but I don't have my hope in that. Where I have my hope is what Jesus has done. Because I know what he's done, he's not through with yet. And when he gets through with it, I won't have to worry about a better government. I won't have to worry about a better situation. See, all my hope this morning lies in Jesus. There's some things that Jesus has done. And I'd like to give you just a few of these this morning. First of all, he forsook his home in heaven. One of the things that Jesus did for me was he forsook his own home for me. I don't mean that he became a prodigal son. I don't mean that he ran away from God. But what I mean is that he willingly left what he had for me. When Jesus left heaven, he left two things, and that isn't all he left. But folks, to be honest with you this morning, there's no way to cover all I got to do, so I had to cut some of it out. And if I gave it all to you, some of you wouldn't come back for a month. Okay. But if you'll go to the book of Philippians this morning, and just let me read a little passage here to you, and then we'll go over to John 17 a minute and read a passage over there. And I'd just like to give you some material that'll help you this morning. And this sermon not only would help a lost person understand his need of Jesus, but I think it'd help a Christian understand what God's done for him. In Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verse 5. You're familiar with the passage, but read it for your further instruction. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." First thing I want you to see is that Jesus left his position. You know it's hard to step down from your position? Do you know that? You say, "I don't have any position." Well, we may not have an elected place, and we may not be of anything important, but I'm going to tell you something, a hard thing you have to do, stepping from the level you are down to somebody else's level. It's hard for you and I as a Christian to be a witness or to go in the home of somebody or to be around somebody that doesn't dress right or doesn't smell right or doesn't live right. They're filthy, they're dirty. We can't stand that. But God left his position in heaven to come down to a world just like that. I mean, he did that for me. He left or forsook his own home for me. You know, it's hard for us sometimes. Some of us lock ourselves up in our home where they're all weak. And outside of going to the store to go shopping, or outside of going to pick the kids up, or outside of going to do something we want to do, very few of us ever leave our home to go into a world that needs to hear about Jesus. And yet Jesus forsook his home for me. He left his position. And the Bible said this, "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." It's hard for you and I to get into the form of a servant. It is. I don't care who you are this morning, and I don't care how much you like to help other people. It's hard for you to serve somebody else. Because in serving somebody else, first of all, to be a real servant, there has to be a desire to do what you're told to do. And most of us don't like anybody else telling us what to do. That's not just our kids. That's us too. Imagine God leaving his home to come down here to take orders from us. That's quite a development. That's quite a step down. But he did that. He did that. Not only that, and I don't want to get carried away on that subject. Let's go to John 17 a minute. And all of this can preach a long time. And I guess that's how a preacher learns to preach. He just finds something and runs away with it. But if you'll turn to John 17 a minute, let me show you something. And you've read this before, but maybe you just never picked up on it. In verse 5, 17:5. "And now, O Father," Jesus is praying. This is the Lord's Prayer here. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." You know what Jesus left to come here? He left his glory. He left his glory. You've heard people say of somebody, they're in their glory. You know, they just won the lottery, or they got a new car, so they're in their glory, you know. And Jesus left his glory to come down here to be spit on and mocked and be born in a stable. I know that there may be a few of you in here who had the honor of being born at home. And I've heard the tales, you know. I woke up with frost on my blankets and snow coming in the cracks, you know. We've heard those. And I'm not so sure that sometimes that you don't evangelize a little bit on that, you know. Like grandma, you know. I don't know what all this buses are for. We used to walk 5 miles to school, you know. And that may have been true. Some of you may have walked that far. Maybe some of you walked further than that. And nowadays, if you have a child to get out of their desk and walk downstairs, I have to go all the way down there to get it. Couldn't somebody bring it up here? But Jesus left his glory. He left his glory. I wasn't so sure that I understood all that, so I thought, well, maybe I just do a little checking. And just so that I don't elaborate too much, I'm going to give you a couple references, say a couple words, and we're going to move on. But turn to Luke 9 just a minute. Had to go to Luke, didn't we? Couldn't let you out this month without going to Luke. Wouldn't want you to think I backslid. All the will of God or something. Luke 9, verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him, that's James and John, had gone up to the mountain, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his... Now let's go to Hebrews where we were at there a minute and just look at chapter 1 a minute. And let's just see, what did he leave? What did he leave? What did he leave? Once we see what he left, we realize we don't leave much. Hebrews 1, look at verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, who? Jesus Christ being the express image and glory of God. And when the Bible said he left his glory, it wasn't talking about he was a big shot in heaven and he left his glory. It was talking about what he was. He was, in effect, the glory and the brightness of God in image. And he stepped out of the splendor of heaven and stepped onto this earth, and men looked at him and said, "You're not yet 50 years old. How can you know Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Earlier in that passage, they said to him, "We be not of fornication." He stepped from his glory to come down here for me. He left his position as a man in heaven, as an angel of God in heaven, the image and brightness of God, to come down here into a world. And the Bible said, they knew him not. They knew him not. There was a man sent from God. His name was John, to bear witness of the light. He was not that light. And when he came into this world, they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I and my Father are one." And the Bible said the Jews took up stones to stone him. He left his glory to come here. In Matthew 19, in verse 29, Jesus speaking here to his disciples, and they'd had a kind of a little argument over who was going to sit with Jesus. Had a little argument about who, or not an argument, but had a discussion on who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and who was going to, who could be saved and who couldn't be saved. Some things prior to this and some things following this were in this context. But notice what he said in verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what? He kind of expects us to do the same. He kind of expects us to forsake what's ours for his sake. You've heard a little saying, turnabout's fair play. I don't know that you can make that scriptural, but let me tell you something. As sure as Jesus forsook his home and came down for me, he expects that I should do the same. And he expects I should do the same without any complaint. There was no murmuring or complaining, Jesus. Never one time did Jesus ever say to his disciples, "Look, you bunch of boneheads, do you know why I left to come down here?" And yet sometime, let me tell you, as Christians, you know how we act? Well, they sure ought to appreciate us. Do you know what we've given up? He forsook his home in heaven for me. What have you forsaken for him? Sometimes this time of year, my wife and I walked out of a store the other day and we didn't even buy anything. We looked at everything. We coveted a lot of things. And we didn't even buy anything. We walked out the door. My wife says, "I just can't buy it." She says, "I don't know." She says, "Maybe I'm just getting too tight." And then she said, "You know, I guess I'm just glad I can't spend my money like some people do." And I'm glad she can't either. Because number one, it ain't hers. Just kidding. And I thought about that as I was thinking about all the stuff that we weren't going to be able to buy for Christmas this year. Some of you are experiencing the same feeling, aren't you? Huh? And maybe some of you aren't, but I know some of you have had a rough time financially for a couple years. Job's been tight, money's been tight. And this year, Christmas buying, unless you rob Peter to pay Paul. And in my house, we robbed Paul to pay Paul. But unless you rob Peter to pay Paul, you know what you're going to find in the Christmas tree? A nice note that says, "Good morning, kids. We're so poor this year, Santa Claus committed suicide." No Christmas. But you know what you felt like you're doing? Now listen to me. See if this didn't cross your mind. You felt like you're forsaking something. Well, that's not a bad thought. In fact, that may be a pretty good thought. Maybe we ought to forsake some of that stuff. And we just ought to dump some of it. And maybe we ought to do something more valuable with the resources which God has given us. Now, I know that's tough on you. Traditionally, we're all sympathetic this time of year, huh? Traditionally, I don't care who you are here this morning. Traditionally, as a man, you want to buy your wife something. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. That's not true. Okay. Matt looking at me kind of, "What you talking about?" Traditionally, the wife... No. All right. I have a couple. No. But traditionally, the wife wants to buy something for... And listen, as a parent, I don't care who you are as a parent. I mean, even if they get older, you still want to buy them something. And you can't go in a store, I don't care who you are, and you look at all that stuff, and you begin to think, "Well, that'd be nice if they had that one." It'd be nice. You know what they do when they go to step on it? And we're not willing to forsake much for the cause of Christ. But you know, I want to tell you what, my friend. He forsook everything he had to come down here.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.